The scripture records John writing, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, as we bow before you this morning, indeed, you are our Lord. The word of God who has come to us. And Father, through your word this morning, I pray that you would speak to us the living word. And Lord, that you would encourage us this morning as we come draw near you and behold the wonder of the manger and what that means for us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our hope. There is no Christmas without you. And so, Lord, to you alone be the praise, glory, and honor through Christ our Lord, in whom we pray. Amen. Christmas indeed begins with Christ. And last week, we had focused on Christ is coming. We looked at some of the prophecies regarding the coming of Jesus and what that means for us. We looked at Isaiah. Today we come to John chapter 1 as we focus on Christ is here. John had been one of the disciples who was the inner circle of Jesus, had known him well, had fellowshipped with him and had seen him and been in his inner circle and had witnessed him. And his telling of the coming of Jesus is different from all the others, from Mark, from Matthew and Luke, who focused on the birth of Christ. John focuses on the divinity of Jesus and who he was and his very nature. And the fact that Christ, who means the anointed one of God, is here. And this morning we celebrate the fact and rejoice because God is with us. Joseph was told in Matthew chapter 1 by the angel, "Don't be afraid, because Mary will get what is conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you to give him the name Jesus," which Emmanuel, which means God with us in fulfillment. This morning we come to celebrate that Emmanuel, God, is here. That's what Christmas is about. He's just with us here now, and he's with us forever. Christmas brought God down to us, and that's what we celebrate. John recording that, focusing in on the divinity of Christ and who he is and how we see God come to us in a powerful way. This morning, we want to discover and rejoice together in the fact that Christ is here over three things we can celebrate. We celebrate this morning the awesomeness of his incarnation, to try for us to grasp what Christmas is all about, the awesome event that we celebrate of what Christmas is. The incarnation of God. That God himself came down to you and me. John says that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God himself. And present with him from the very beginning of time. That Jesus did not just come into being at Christmas. He always was, because Jesus is God himself. And in chapter 14, verse 14, John says that that word, God himself, became flesh. God is here. And we celebrate the fact of Christmas that God became man. Now, we know that. We celebrate that. That's a central truth of Christmas. But just take a moment to think about what that really means for you and me. That the Creator, the one who always was, became man, wrapped himself in flesh and the limitations of humanity, and humbled himself to that degree that he laid aside all of that glory and majesty to take on the limitations of a human body. Think of how much he loved you to do that. And that's what we celebrate, that God himself became man. And that word become in verse 14 does not mean that Jesus ceased to be what he was before. That when he became man, he lost something. It doesn't mean that at all. Jesus, rather than his eternal deity, he added perfect and complete humanity. He temporarily laid aside some of his divine attributes and his full display of glory to become man for us. And that's important. And John wants us to understand that the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. And how important that is. Because there have been false teachers down throughout the years that have tried to twist who Jesus is and have messed up the whole celebration and the understanding of Christ. There was a group of people called Docetism or Docetism, and you say, what's that mean? Well, the word Docetism means basically a shadow. And there were people that taught in the first century, and it's continued on, that Jesus, the flesh, was evil, and because Jesus was God, he could not have taken on human flesh. He could not have become man because the flesh is so sinful. And how could God live in a body? And so they taught that Jesus only appeared to have a body, but he didn't actually become man. He just appeared to be human. Is that what we believe? No, Jesus didn't appear to be a human. He was a man. He didn't just appear to die on the cross. He actually died for us. And they believe that Jesus, the divinity part of Jesus, left him before the crucifixion, and just a man died. But John says, no, the Word, God himself, became flesh. He became man for us. And that's important. Why? Because if he didn't become human, he couldn't die for us, could he? He couldn't pay the price. He couldn't forgive us of our sin. Then there was a group of people by a man of Arius, who was a bishop, teacher of a church in Alexandria. And he came up with a team called Arianism. And Arianism erred on the other side. The Docetists erred on the side of upholding Jesus' divinity. The Arianist side upheld Jesus' humanity to the point of deciding his deity. And they taught that God and the Father are not co-eternal, that there was a time Jesus never existed, and that Jesus only existed when he was born, that God created him, and he's therefore inferior to the Father. Does that sound true? No, but today this is being taught in a group of people called Jehovah Witnesses. Do you ever hear of them? This is what they believe, that Jesus isn't God. He's a lesser God because God is God and Jesus was made and came into being at the time of his birth. Both are wrong. John makes it clear that the Word, God himself, became man for us. So what's that mean? He became man, so it means he understands us. That just as his human nature, the biblical view is that Jesus is both fully God and fully man. 100% divinity, 100% humanity. Both. That's who Jesus is. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, John was writing to refute some of this false teaching that had been going on in his day. And He said to them, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." He said, "This is how you can tell or recognize the spirit of Christ. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the what? Flesh is from God." Acknowledging the truth that the Word Himself became flesh and man for us. That's essential. That's what we believe. That's the truth of Christmas. We celebrate the awesomeness of His incarnation. It's hard for us to figure that out, how God would become human for us and not compromise any of His divinity. It's hard for us to understand that. But yet, that's the truth of what Christmas is. He became man, and so because of that, God fully understands. The message to the angel, the message to Matthew, to Joseph was, Emmanuel, God is with us. That Jesus' human nature was subject to hunger, thirst, weakness, tiredness, temptation, and ultimately death on the cross. Yet, all without sin. And so because God came near and came down to us as a man, He understands what you and I are going through. He understands the tiredness. He understands the pain. He understands the loneliness. He definitely understands what it means to be rejected. He understands suffering more than you and I can ever can. He understands pain and death and all of that. But He is God. And He understands, and so He cares. He's with us in every way. Hebrews tells us, so we don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with us. But we have a high priest who can sympathize with us in every single way, yet He did not sin. And He understands what it's like to be tempted and to be thirsty as He hung on the cross and said, "I thirst." He understands all that we go through. God is here, and we celebrate that in the awesomeness of His incarnation. That He came to us so that we can go to Him and that He understands all that we feel and all that we go through. That's something to rejoice in, isn't it? Second, we celebrate that Christ is here in the assurance of His presence. Because John went on to say in verse 14, the Word became flesh and then what? Made His dwelling among us. That God came and dwelled with us. That word dwelling means to tabernacle, to encamp, to pitch a tent. It's a reference back to the tabernacle of Israel, where the tabernacle was built in the center of God's people, and they lived around it, and God was dwelling, His presence was dwelling among them. And here God's presence in the Old Testament dwelt through a spirit, through a cloud, but now God came to us physically and dwells and tabernacled among us. It's like John saying He pitched a tent and He camped out with us. And think of what that means, that He laid aside His permanent home, His permanent dwelling, and He came and He lived in a tent of a body. Because Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that this earthly tent we live in, our body is like an earthly tent. Our heavenly home is permanent. But Jesus laid aside that permanent home and took up residence in a tent with us so He could be with us and we could see Him and He could be with us. That's great love. That's great sacrifice, isn't it? So that means that He made His dwelling with us. It means that we are not alone. That Emmanuel, God, is dwelling with us. He's here now. And forever, He said, "I will never, ever leave you. I will never, ever forsake you." And so that's something to celebrate, that Christ is here dwelling in us now through the Holy Spirit. So because He is here, we don't have to be afraid. The news of Christmas is fear not. The angels that brought the message to the shepherds as they were on the hillside that first Christmas night, and it was in the dark, and the angels appeared, and they were watching the sheep, and as they had done every night before. And the angels appeared, and they were terrified. And the first words to them was, remember, fear not. Don't be afraid. Why? Because today, in the city of David, the Savior has been born to you. Christ is here. And because of that, fear is dispelled. In those times of darkness, just as the shepherds experienced, we don't have to be afraid because Christ is here. When we don't understand what he's doing and what God's plan is, again, we don't have to be afraid. The angel came to Mary, Gabriel, and said, "You're going to conceive. You're going to give birth to a son." And she said, "How will this be? I don't understand. I'm a virgin. How can this happen? I don't understand, God, what you're doing." And the angel said, "Don't be afraid, because the power of the Most High will abide upon you. The one to be born in you will be the Son of God." And because Christ had come, her fear, even when she didn't understand God's plan, was dispelled. When we feel like our world is falling apart, in the case of Joseph, when he heard the news that Mary was pregnant and he couldn't understand, "How was she unfaithful to me? What do I do? Do I divorce her? Do I continue on with this? What do I do?" He felt like his world was turned upside down. And again, God came to him and the angel said, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because Emmanuel is here." Or in the storms of life, when we have those storms and the winds and the waves blow and they come, those storms come to all of us. And the disciples were in the boat one night when the storm was fierce, and it had to have been a really bad storm because they were fishermen. They made their living on the sea. But this storm came up so bad they were terrified. It says the waves were coming into the boat and they were afraid they were going to die. But somebody was present in the boat with them, you remember? And Jesus wasn't terrified of the storm at all. What was he doing, if you remember? He was sleeping, showing again his human side, but he was sleeping. And he got up and the disciples were afraid. He said, "Don't be afraid." And he said, "Peace, be still." And the winds calmed and that was still. Why? Because God, Christ, was with them in the midst of the storm. Or in the hour of death, we don't have to be afraid either. Because Jairus, who was a leader in the synagogue, his daughter was dying and sent word to Jesus, "My daughter is sick unto death." And Jesus came, but he delayed his coming. He got delayed in his coming. By the time he arrived there, Jairus' daughter was dead. And there was weeping in the house. And his first words is, "Don't be afraid. Trust God." Jesus went in and he raised her from life again and brought life. Even in the hour of death, we don't have to fear because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, right? And he is here. That's the good news of Christmas, that Christ is here. He made his dwelling among us. He laid aside the permanent residence and took up a tent and is living and dwelling among us. We are not alone. We don't have to be afraid. And the third thing we celebrate this morning is the appearance of his glory. That John said, the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. And third, we have seen or beheld or his glory has been revealed. The glory of the one and the only. That the only begotten Son of God, the glory of God, has been revealed through Jesus. Jesus said, "When you see me, you have seen who? The Father. Because him and the Father are one. He is the Word of God, God himself made flesh, and Jesus took on human flesh so in a tangible way, we could see what God was like. And we could see how God loves us. We can see how God cares for us. We can see all that God is through Jesus. The only begotten Son of God, the one and only, is a unique phrase. It's the only time it's used in Scripture, and John uses it here to describe the relationship of Jesus to God the Father, that it's the one and only Son of God. There is no other. He is the only one. And the Mormons teach that God has many children, that God begot and had many children. No, Jesus is the only Son of God. There are no other. He is unique. And he is the exact representation of the Father, one in essence and one in nature. That when we see Jesus, we see the Father. The glory of God, full glory of God revealed, the creator of the universe wrapped up in flesh. And God's glory is revealed that he is full of grace and full of truth. I love that. That Jesus is the revelation of the grace of God in action. And we see that, and grace is receiving what we don't deserve. And God came and laid aside his glory and came down and died for us to bring his grace to us so that we could be forgiven. The fullness of God's grace shown us through Jesus. And truth, that Jesus is not just grace, but he's also truth and the only source of it. The appearance of his glory is what we celebrate at Christmas. The one laid in the manger, God himself, his full glory revealed. So Christ is here, and we celebrate that God wrapped in human flesh and became man. The awesomeness of that incarnation that is so hard for us to understand. The assurance of his presence that is with us now and always will be. Emmanuel is here. And the appearance, full appearance of his glory wrapped up in Jesus. When we see him, we know who God is and what he is like. That's Christmas. That's what we celebrate. Christ is here, and Christmas begins with him, because without him, there can be no Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of coming to us. And Lord, that you laid yourself, you laid aside all that glory. You left the glories of heaven, your permanent dwelling, and you came and took on an earthly tent. And camped out with us, lived with us, ate with us, slept with us in ways. And the disciples seen and beheld that. They said, we saw it. We touched him. And you came and dwelled with us so that we can dwell with you forever in your presence someday. And that, Lord, that you never leave us. Emmanuel is here. God is with us. So we don't have to be afraid when the storms come, in the hour of death, when we don't understand your plan, when things don't make sense, when it seems like our world is turning upside down, in the midst of the darkness, in all of it, we don't have to be afraid because Christ, God, is here. And that brings peace. And so thank you, Lord. Good news and peace to all. On whom his favor rests, said the angels. And Father, we thank you, and we cannot understand why you would leave heaven and come to us. Why you loved us so much that you would wrap yourself in human flesh and take on the limitations and the pain and suffering of humanity. But you did it for us. And we thank you that you came down in that way. And so, Lord, we give you praise. And we give you thanksgiving for what and who you are and what it means for us today. And we rejoice in you, our Savior, that Christ is here and always will be. That's what Christmas is about. Not just a baby born, but God come to us. And in that we say thank you and we praise you. It's in the name of Jesus we ask this prayer. Amen.